Welcome to the podcast for Knox United Church Nepean for Sunday, May 31st, 2020, Pentecost Sunday. We hope that you have an order of service in front of you so that you'll be able to join in on the responses and sing along with all of the hymns. If you'd like to get an order of service for future services, just contact the church office and we'd be happy to add you to our email list. You can contact the church at 613-829-2266. Or email us at office@knoxnepean.ca. I do have one sad piece of information to pass on this morning. Elda Gorrell, after a long battle with cancer, passed away on Saturday morning. Elda and her late husband, Phil, were founding members of Knox United Church. Elda, in my recollection, was the kind of lady who always had a kind of twinkle in her eye that gave a sense that she was aware of a lot more than she was telling. She was someone with a very nice sense of humor, tended to be quiet, but was very much aware of everything and involved. Elda will be missed, and I would invite you to keep her family and her friends in your prayers this day. I would invite you to have a look at the good news that's printed in the bulletin. We don't say names of good news people or any of the prayer request people on the video or on the podcast, but we will include those in the printed version, and you can include the prayers that are requested, and you can enjoy the good news that's printed. This morning, I would like to welcome and thank Alan and Allison Bell for joining us in the podcast today and supporting us in the responses and the readings and the singing. Thank you very much for being with us. I believe that these are all of the announcements. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. Our call to worship is printed. It is responsive. I would invite you to participate. A powerful wind entered the room.
Fire danced on the heads of the disciples.
God's Spirit burned in their hearts,
freeing their tongues to share God's wonder.
May God's Spirit blow into us now.
And may we be inspired with wonder, love, and worship.
Our opening prayer is a unison prayer. It is also printed. Let us pray together. Holy God, you spoke the world into being. Pour your Spirit to the ends of the earth, that your children may return from exile as citizens of your commonwealth, and our divisions may be healed by your word of love and righteousness. Amen. Our opening hymn for this Sunday is from the More Voices hymn book, number 12, Come Touch Our Hearts. The words are also printed in your order of service. Thank you. Our responsive psalm for today is taken from Psalm 104, verses 24 to 35. You can find this in Voices United at number 827, part 2 of that psalm. It is also printed in your order. We will be singing the refrain, so Allison will play it through once, and then we will repeat that as we sing it, and then we'll start in on the actual psalm itself. O God, how manifold are your works!
With wisdom at your side, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
There lies the great and mighty sea, teeming with living things both great and small.
Upon it sail the ships, and there is Leviathan, the monster you made to play in it.
All these look to you to give them their food in due season.
What you give them, they gather up. When you open your hand, you fill them with good things.
But when you hide your face, they despair. When you take away their breath, they die and return to dust.
But when you send out your spirit, they live again, and you renew the face of the earth.
Blessed O my soul, the Almighty, who rules all creation.
May your glory, O God, endure forever.
May you rejoice, O God, in your works.
When you look at the earth, it trembles.
When you touch the mountains, they smoke.
I will sing to God as long as I live.
I will praise my God while I have being.
Bless, O my soul, the Almighty, who rules all creation.
The first lesson's from Numbers, chapter 11, verses 24 to 30. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied. But they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad. And the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of his chosen men, said, My lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp.
Thank you. The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3b to 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. The day of Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church. It's when we as a church stopped hanging around in Jerusalem after Jesus left and became able to go beyond our comfortable boundaries to encounter the world. To celebrate this, we generally read the Acts version of the event, complete with the blowing winds and the tongues of flame, not to mention all those different languages being spoken by people who didn't know them. But that certainly wasn't the first time God's Spirit burst into the world on several people at once. It wasn't even the biggest time. Our lesson from Numbers shows an ancient precursor to this event, when the 70 elders of Israel were, mostly, on the mountain, and they began to prophesy, a sure sign that the Spirit of God had inspired them. And the potential trouble for the two men who'd stayed in the camp was brushed aside by Moses, who said that we should wish that everyone would be touched by God's Spirit in this way. The deep message of Pentecost is that everyone in the church has been inspired by God's Spirit. No one is left out. That's an important part of Paul's message to the church at Corinth, that people shouldn't feel left out because there are many gifts of the Spirit, and we each have one. Each gift is unique. The list of gifts Paul makes is not exhaustive, but it makes a very deliberate point that we are all linked by the same Spirit and that the Spirit makes us into the body of Christ, with each part having a different job. That vision of our connected nature through God's Spirit is important to us within the United Church, not just now as we deal with COVID-19, but right from the earliest days of the denomination. We have understood all along that we are all touched and connected by God's Spirit. We take this inspiration from John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism. He was a great opponent of slavery, and he found that to oppose slavery, it wasn't enough just to look to the Bible, because there was slavery all the way through the Bible, including rules about how to do it fairly. Wesley was clear that slavery was appalling. And so something beyond the raw message of Scripture was needed. And he developed a theology of the four pillars for faith decisions, sometimes called the Wesleyan quadrilateral. One of those pillars is Scripture itself. Another is tradition. Tradition, but with the caution that it needs to be re-examined continually. The third pillar is reason, but reason only as informed by the Holy Spirit. And the fourth pillar is our own lived experience as people of faith. Now, the way this functioned, according to Wesley, is when people would gather together to wrestle with a problem. In the gathering, in the sharing of stories, he encouraged people of faith particularly to listen to the voices from the margins, the people on the edges of life, the ones with the greatest challenges. And he understood that some of the Holy Spirit's most important work in this process was to let the voices of the marginalized inspire the discussions, the debates, the reasoning of the church, so that the decisions made would truly be led by the Spirit of God. That's one of the main reasons that absentee ballots are never allowed at church meetings. An absentee ballot requires that you make up your mind ahead of time. You're not open to change, not open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, not open to listening to the voices of others and possibly being moved to change. Now, these principles actually work quite well when we can't get together through electronic meetings. You know, the Zoom or the Skype or the teleconference type of meetings that we are using so much these days. They all give us that same chance to do what was originally intended: to listen, to participate with each other, to be open to the Spirit's moving. But of course, there are limitations that we have to face, especially when a number of people don't have access to these sorts of electronic meetings. And so I would invite you to wonder in this day what the voices from the margins would say if we are figuring out how to be the church during this pandemic and we want to hear them. For example, what are the challenges for the people who have autism, whose schedules have been horribly disrupted by this pandemic, and who simply cannot return to the routine that comforts them? What about the people who don't have a way to use technology? They can't connect or place orders. How do they avoid being alone? And what about the people with mental health issues? COVID restrictions feel like imprisonment to many people, and we all have extra stress and new worries right now. But what about the people who feel like that all the time and are now being pushed even further? What would their voices say? We have heard a few of those. I remember hearing journalists interviewing single parents stuck in tiny apartments with multiple children, not allowed to go outdoors or visit parks. One comedian in Vancouver even quipped that there's a new way to classify Canadian haves and have-nots, those who have a backyard and those who don't. We know, for example, that the challenges of poverty are always harder when something like this comes along than for the people who are less impoverished, and it's truly dreadful for people who are homeless. But that's not the only reality that we're facing right now, is it? Our statistics, as they get released, are starting to show us that immigrant populations and people of color are being infected at higher rates. And it's often because of the jobs that they have. They're put at risk more frequently. And I think it's fair to say that some voices are finally getting heard after much too much silence. And in some cases, it's taken the army to speak for them, after working in long-term care homes so that the word could get out. Now, that's not part of our traditional thinking, is it? To consider the Holy Spirit working through the army? But there's the evidence, right there. And one of the reasons that we need to be prepared to re-examine our traditions. But you know, the Holy Spirit isn't just an amplifier of marginalized voices. God's Spirit is a live wire, a powerful connector, linking us to our Creator and to each other. And when we hear these marginal voices, we're not supposed to just shake our heads and remark on how bad things are for those poor people. We're supposed to be inspired to work for change. We are supposed to become passionate. Passionate for God's work in God's world. Passionate for God's justice becoming real. Passionate for living in a way that reflects God's values as we care for each other. And as we find creative ways to help the people who have the most challenges, those voices we will hear if we make a point of listening and if we let the Spirit move us. And we're not called to do this alone. We're called to do this together, connecting with others, calling or writing or Zooming or Skyping or whatever is needed. Because God never intended for us to be alone, isolated in our faith. We are at our best, we are at our most faithful when we're connected, when we can put our heads together and consider what it is the Scriptures say, what we've done before, what our human experience is calling for, and how we can figure out a good way forward. And it's the Holy Spirit that ties all of this together. Now, I will confess that I know from personal experience this is a lesson we need to relearn regularly. Because of my own background and some deep theological distinctions that I've made from what I used to believe, I'm very cautious of the approaches that evangelical churches tend to take. But there was an open letter in the Ottawa Citizen yesterday from a group of Christian leaders in Ottawa, a group that is predominantly evangelical, but not exclusively so. And it's a great letter. It's very encouraging. It's very practical. And it leads people to a website that lists churches who offer online services and study groups. I've asked them how we could add Knox to this list. See, the United Church is a large church, and sometimes we start to feel like we're in a very big bubble. We might feel like we're self-sufficient. We don't need to share out and about with others. We can become kind of insular. We can navel gaze too much, lose track of other perspectives. But while those perspectives may challenge us, they can also bring fresh ideas that are very well worth considering. That's why Paul describes us together as the body of Christ. We fill in each other's gaps. No one individual has all the gifts the church needs, but together we have gifts in abundance. And if we are the body of Christ, then the Holy Spirit is like our nervous system, connecting us with energy, with inspiration, coordinating us so that we can work together, and allowing us to function so that we accomplish so much more than we ever could alone. Amen. Our next hymn is found in Voices United at number 202, O Breath of Life Come Sweeping, and it is also printed in your order of service.
Revive your church with life and hope.
Let us now join together in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, which will conclude with the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you that your gift of the Spirit is so inclusive. You reach out and offer freely to each one of us. We're the ones who make divisions. We are the ones who look up to or down upon other people, or feel like we're worthless, or feel like we're the center of the universe. But through your Spirit, you connect us all and remind us that we are all part of a greater whole. We are all part of your people, your church, gathering together even though separated physically. We thank you that the gift of your Spirit reminds us and reassures us that we are indeed still connected, even though distant. We really didn't expect this pandemic, and although we've now been dealing with it for a couple of months, it still feels fresh and new and really frustrating. People are getting isolated and cut off. People are finding their lives full of pressure and stress. People are finding themselves terribly, terribly alone. And so we ask that your Spirit of love would inspire us to find ways to help each other, to connect, to call, to wave across the street, to do all of those kinds of things that, while keeping us safe from disease, also keep our hearts and minds safe from isolation. Teach us how to love in new ways, to love at a distance, to make connections and to be inspired by the things that others do. Loving God, you have seen all sorts of things happen over the span of history, and people have dealt with dreadful epidemics and pandemics before. So we ask that you would reassure us of the ways that we can go forward, that we can stay healthy, that we can stay safe, that we can stay connected with one another. Gracious God, your love is always there for us. Help us to make it available for others every day, all the time. And help us to discover as we reach out that we in turn find others reaching out to us. Eternal God, keep us from feeling like the things that we have to contribute aren't good enough. Your church could not exist without all of the different people and all of the different gifts that we bring. Help us to look beyond the flashy stuff, to look beyond what seems impressive, and to see the basic human connection, to see the common inspiration that allows each one of us to be your people and contribute as your people to the work of your church. We each have a role. We each have a calling. We are each touched by your Spirit. Help us, we pray, to share that good that we can do with all that we can. Loving God, in this time, there are a number of things that concern us, issues that weigh on our hearts, people that we are worried about, people that we know who have suffered losses or are facing difficult times, people who need healing, who need connection and hope, people who need safety. Gracious God, in this time of silence, we lift up to you all of those people that we feel in our hearts. All-powerful God, hear our prayers, for we ask them in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together in these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 372 in Voices United, Though I May Speak, number 372. It's also printed in your order. Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, this day and forevermore.